Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim brought you from Eretz Chemda Tova Ulchava is daf Samach. So we've got a little bit far afield, and I think maybe it's worthwhile doing just a brief perspective to how we got here, because we're sort of right in the middle of the sugya. This whole business started when Rav said that if you've got even the slightest pagam in the mizbeach, so then we got into the question of dichui, a special halacha that only if the mizbeach is around is something kosher, but without it, it can't be kosher. And the Gemara asked on that from the fact that it says about the mizbeach hapnimi that you can bring the ketoret even if the mizbeach hazahav is not even there. You can bring the ketoret and you could put it on the floor of the Heichal, and that's just as good. So the question is, why wouldn't you be able to do that if the Mizbeach is pogrom? It can't be that it's going to be worse than removing the Mizbeach overall, is it? So because of that, we had to explain that Rav says that when it comes to the Dam on the Mizbeach is absolutely essential. When it comes to the burning of Emunim or Basar and so on, that's a different question. And that is indeed built on something that Rav Yehuda said. And we made this comment, we didn't even know what he's referring to, that Meideh Rav Yehuda Bedomim. Now, we didn't even know what that means. We still haven't figured out what it means, but we do know that it means that Dam is different than the Emurim or the Basar. So that when it comes to Dam, you can't get away without having an actual Mizbeach. Now, the truth is that we're going to have to still finish this sugya to get to what Rabbi Yehuda meant when it said Rabbi Yehuda's Meideh Bedomim. But let's just remember the various things. We've gotten into a rather complex machlokas, all of which is interrelated. Sorry. Between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in the Braita, but a whole discussion about how big the Mizbeach was at the time of Shlomo, the time of Moshe, the interrelationship between the area that was useful for burning on the two mizbechot, how to understand, sorry again, how to understand the pasuk that talks about the need to be, make the entire floor of the Azara, it seems to be saying make the entire floor of the Azara Kadesh because there wasn't enough space to bring the korbanos that were going to be brought on the day of the chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash. It was 142,000 korbanos, 22,000 bakar, 120,000 son. So we had basically three fundamental questions in the machlokas, all interrelated, and that eventually will bring us to this idea of Moideh Rav Yehuda Bedomim that we're looking for. So remember, this all was tangential just to that one comment that Rav had made about a mizbeach being pogrom, that all the korbanos become nivsals. And we're still trying to figure out what this machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, its impact on our circuit is, right? I mean, it's fascinating. It's historically fascinating, the whole interrelationship between the Mishkan and Shlomo HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach in the time of Yecheskel, which is the third Beis HaMikdash. We haven't yet arrived at that time. All of this is very fascinating, but it should not drive you crazy with its complexities because it's all basically a pop down into a different level of discussion, right? So here were the different things that we were talking about. It all started off with the fact that it said that Shlomo HaMelech had to make the floor of the Azara Kodesh. So what did that mean? So we had a big machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda holds it means literally they had to burn the korbanos, the 142,000 korbanos. There was no room for them on the mizbeach of Binyan of Avonim. And therefore, they had to actually put it on the floor. This, of course, is where Rabbi Yehuda is going to be Moideh Bedomim. You understand that the floor is good enough for burning, but we're going to see it's not good enough for Zrikas Domim. The next machlokas that we had. So that was one machlokas according to which Rabbi Yossi says, no, it doesn't mean literally the floor. It means they gave it the kedusha to be able to put the mizbeach in the Azara. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda holds it means literally they had to burn on the floor. Now that revolved around the question of the relative areas of the Mizbechot. So according to Rav Yehuda, when the measurement was given of the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, where it says Chamesh Amot, it is actually being compared to the Ravua, which is the language that's used, the Ravua in Yechezkel that describes the Mizbeach of the third Beis HaMikdash. And over there it says Ravua, meaning La'arba'at Riva'at, so that all, you take that midpoint and then you have four squares on all sides. So if that's true, I mean, there it's talking about 12 amot on all four sides, but here it says 5 amot. So 5 amot, all four sides, gives you what? 10 by 10. 10 by 10 actually means that your surface of actual hakarava, because you have to take off from all four sides, you have to take off one arm of the kronot. You can't have, obviously, the kronot being the place where you're walking. So you take off that one arm on all four sides. And you have to take off another arm, which was provided for, it's called Makom Hiluch Ragle HaKohanim. So if that's the case, if it's 5 by 5 on each side, it still leaves you out of that 10, it still leaves you 6 by 6, because you took off 2 from each side for the Kronos and 2 for each side. Makom Hiluch Ragle HaKohanim, that gives you your 10 by 10. 6 by 6 is 36 square amot, and the Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech built left us only a platform of 20 by 20, because he also needed to leave that extra room for the Mokam Yiluch Ragle HaKohanim. He needed to leave that extra room for the Kronos, and moving from the inside out. He needed to leave the extra room for a Sovev, which is yet another Amah, and he needed to leave the extra room for the Yisod. So the 24 by 24 actually ends up being 20 by 20, which gives you an area of 400. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, when it says 5 in the Midbar, it means 5. And it's just 5. So if that would be the case, then what you've got over here is plenty of room, right? Because it says Elef Olot, Shlomo would be able to bring on that one square Amma of the platform, burning platform, that gives him an area of only one Amma to burn 1,000. So if we got 20 by 20, oh my God, that's 400 times bigger, then that means you've got room easy for the 142,000 Korbanos. It's no problem. But if you learn out from Yechezkel that 5 by 5 is really 10 by 10, so then with the magic of geometric progression, you end up having not one Amma, but 36 Ammas. And 36 Ammas for 1,000 does not give you 142,000 anywhere near it even. It gives you something like 11,000 or something, if it now is supposed to be translated to the original 1,000 per 36 is now translated into how many per 400. Okay, so according to him, the floor is necessarily Kodesh because there simply is not physical room on that Mizbeach. So that was the next Machlokas. You see, obviously, they're all interdependent. Now, because of that, the question is, and how did Rabbi Yossi learn the relationship to the Amma, where it says Ravua? He says, we don't learn it from the Ravua of Yechezkel, we learn it from the Ravua of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaZav, and what we're learning is no Chiddush about the horizontal platform, but the Chiddush is in terms of the height. So just like the Mizbeach of Yechezkel was the double, it was doubly high than it was in its width, so to the Mizbeach has to be doubly high. So if the width was 5, then the height was 10. That's the other machlokas, because according to Rabbi Yossi, even though it says in the Torah 3 amot, in reality we learn out from Ravua that the real size was 10 amot high. And why does it say 3 amot? 3 amot was only meant to talk about the area of from the Karkova Mizbeach, the bottom level of the Karkov, up until the Kronot, that was 3 amot. Fine. That was the next machloket. Then we had the other machloket about the actual logistics, which is the question of, could you possibly have a Mizbeach that was 10 amot high And the only curtains that you have around that Mizbeach and the Heichal would be 5 amot high, which is a little bit silly in the way that it exposes the Kohen and the Avodah in his hand. So we said that according to Reb Yossi, indeed 5 amot of the measurement that's given for the Kla'im is measured from the top of the Mizbeach and the Heichal, 5 amot. But the total was 15 amot, and he understands that the word katef that is mentioned about the chotzer amishkan, and that it's chamesh esrei amot, which we understand to mean it means the edges of the 5 amot high wall, the curtain, and on either side was 15 amot in front, which gives you 30, and in front of that there was this curtain that protected the entryway, which was another 20. So that's how we understood it. But he understood it, that it means 15 high. So these were like three interrelated points that we've spoken about that we got up to until yesterday. Now today the Gemara points out that Rabbi Yehuda is making this whole big fuss to Rabbi Yossi. How could you say that the Kohen would be standing on a Mizbeach 10 amot high and that everybody would see him? And the whole point of the Kohen is not to provide a stage for the Kohen. It's there in order to provide a sense of tzniut for the Avodah Shamayim. Today, the Gemara points out that actually, Rabbi Yehuda's got the same exact problem. So why didn't he ask about himself for Rabbi Yehuda? So this is where we're up to today on Daf Samach. Rabbi Yehuda, ask the Gemara, even if you hold, right, everything here works out, but he's got the same exact problem. This is towards the end of the fourth line. Well, Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't he have the same problem that Rabbi Yossi has? I mean, he also has got to explain the fact that the coin is seen above the Kiloyim. So what's he making such a fuss about it for? He's got the same problem. How come is Chazi coin? Look, the Mizbeach was Shalosh Amas, right? And the curtains were Chamesh Amas. But when the Kohen is standing on top of the Mizbeach, he is a normal human height, together with his head, is 3 amot. And if that's the case, then he's still going to be seen, because together with the height of the Mizbeach, that's 6, and the Kla'im were only 5. So he's got the same problem, doesn't he? Yeah, he's got the problem to the extent that the Kohen might be seen, but it's only his head that's going to be seen. Hashem, when we're talking about Liber Rabbi Yossi, you're going to see him actually holding the Karbonis in his hands. I mean, the whole thing is open to the public, but you don't see the Avodah Biyada, Avodah Biyada Lo Mischasa. Okay, now let's take a look at the way that the different shitas that we've spoken about here of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda about the measurements, how do they figure into the actual words of the pasuk? So Bishlamal Rabbi Yehuda, it makes sense that the Torah would write that Shlomo HaMelech was kidash the Ritzpa of the Chotzer. Okay, he had to actually make it holy because it was the Tocha Chotzer, which was the Ritzpa, because he actually had to make it Kodesh in order to bring Korbanos on it. But according to Rabbi Yossi, he didn't do anything to the Tocha Chotzer. I mean, Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't mean literally that he actually brought Korbanos on the floor. So then why does it say that he had to be Kadesh the Tocha Chotzer? How do you explain that? My Kidash? No, Kidash, it means that he made the Chotzer Kodesh, you should have the Darga of Kedusha that was necessary to put the Mizbeach there and to make it a Chelak HaMachane Shechina. That requires also the whole ceremony that we've spoken about, walking around with the Korbanes and with the Shirei David and so on. Okay, so he did that, but not to bring the Korbanes on that floor, but to make that floor Ro'ui to have a Mizbeach in it. Okay, now the other way. I mean, Rabbi Yossi, when he says, according to him, the pasuk says that the Mizbeach of the Nechoshet was too small. Okay, that's true. It was too small. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, why is he saying it's too small? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, even the Mizbeach that Shlomo made was too small. So that doesn't make sense. Shlomo HaMelech made the floor Kodesh. This is how Reb Yehuda's reading the pasuk. Shlomo HaMelech made the floor Kodesh because Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach was too small. No, no. Shlomo HaMelech made the floor Kodesh because even the big Mizbeach that he made, that was 24 by 24, was too small. Isn't that what Reb Yehuda understood over here? That's how he made the measurements, right? Relative. So why does it say that the Mizbeach and the Choshes was too small? No, no, no. Don't you understand? When it says the Mizbeach and the Choshet, it doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach and the Choshet. It means that kli that we always call the Mizbeach and the Choshet, because it took the place of the Mizbeach that was made by Moshe. And if you take a look in Divrei Hayomim, it always refers to the Mizbeach Avonim of the time of Shlomo HaMelech Beis HaMikdash. It calls it the Mizbeach and the Choshet. Because that's the point. It's the Mizbeach HaNechoshet as opposed to the Mizbeach HaZahav, right? But obviously, it's not really made out of Nechoshet anymore. It's now a duplicate of the Kedusha and the Inyonim with all the different parts. It's a duplicate of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, so we call that the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. Okay, so that's perfectly acceptable because we could take a look in the Torah itself and see that in Divrei Hayomim, that's exactly the way that the pasuk refers to it. So that's fine. So what it means is Mizbeach HaBanim she'asah Shlomo tachat Mizbeach HaNechoshet, that indeed was katon. Fair enough. Now, let's take a look at what they're really arguing about. So we've got two possibilities. It all boils down to how to understand this revua, right? Because that changes everything. The entire relative capacity of the Mizbeach of Shlomo HaMelech measured against relative to the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how it all started. So now, if that's how it all started, it boils down to the machlokas of does Ravua mean Ravua the way Yecheskel means Ravua? Al Arba'at Riva'av? And it's referring to the top, and it means that there were four squares around that center? Or does it mean the way Reb Yossi understood Ravua, not Al Arba'at Riva'av referring to the top, but referring not to Yecheskel, but to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaZahav, and the point of Ravua. Excuse me, point of Ravua is that it was double in height than it was in any of the measurements of the square on top, right? So, okay, why would we have a machloket like that? I mean, there's got to be rhyme and reason to why we would choose the comparison to Yecheskel Arba'at Riva'av. Why would we choose that over the idea of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaZahav? So by my pleading, well, Reb Yehuda obviously holds, if you're going to make a comparison in the Torah with a word, for Gzeira Shava, from one Mizbeach to the other, doesn't it make sense that you're talking about the same Mizbeach? I mean, here we're talking about the Mizbeach HaChitzon and how it is that Shlomo built it, or how it is that Moshe built it. In this case, it was Moshe, Ravua. And there we're talking about Mizbeach HaChitzon and how it is that it will be built in the future, where we're assuming that our own Reb Chaim will be the architect in charge over there at the time of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. We've got our own Kohen Gadol. You know, we're getting ready around here. And therefore, it makes sense, says Reb Yehuda, let's look at the same Mizbeach in its iterations. So we started talking about the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. We moved on to the Mizbeach of Shlomo, the 24 by 24. We move on to Yecheskel, with his similar to our Mizbeach of 32 by 32. As the Rambam says, that remember, we do everything that we can, that we understand from Yecheskel, was done in the second Beis HaMikdash as a stepping stone towards the Mizbeach HaTim. Okay, that makes sense. Masheken Rabbi Yossi says, look, the Riva'av, that's something in the future. It doesn't say Riva'av over here. It says Ravua. Now, at the time of the Binyan HaMishkan, it makes sense that we're comparing something that is a kli that was made in the Mishkan, comparing it to another kli that was made in the Mishkan, and both of them it says Ravua. I mean, it's very, very understandable. You're talking about spanning millennia. We're going to make a Gzeira Shava of something that hasn't even happened yet, millennia later, and you're going to make a comparison to something that they're building at the time And the thing that we're comparing it to is not even a kli, it's a binyan. And there we're talking about kaling. So it makes much more sense to compare the mizbeach achitzon to the mizbeach apnimi. I mean, okay, it's obvious, isn't it? So ein danin kli mi binyan. So because of that, I would rather look at the gzeirah shavah as referring to the height. Because, I mean, what else does it add in terms of saying ravu? Obviously, it's square. So what it must be talking about is the height. So it's double. The height has to be double the square. That's how I get the idea that the mizbeach achitzon, even though it says 5, that's in terms of the square on top. In terms of the height, must be 10. Okay, that becomes the basis of the whole thing. So now we understand the other three machlokasim that we had based on this question. Finally, we get to what we were looking for, that we spent the past half and a half looking for. What did we mean when we say that you can't ask a kasha on Rav, who says that you need a mizbeach to be physically whole in order to bring your korbanos to do the zrikas adam? So, well, that's only zrikas adam, because same way meida Rav Yehuda b'damim, Rav was meida b'damim. At last we get to Omar Rav, Rav Yehuda is moda, that you can't, even though he said you can make the whole floor kodesh for burning your korbanos, burning your emurim, burning the basar of the oila, all of that is fine. But you cannot sprinkle dam on the floor. How do we know? How do we know that that's what Rav Yehuda holds? Ah, we know it from something that we've already discussed. The Tanya, remember what Rav Yehuda says, that when they plugged up the exit for liquids on the floor of the Azara, they would plug it up during the time of the Hakrovas Korban HaPesach, and that way the blood would rise on the floor. And Rav Yehuda says, you know why? Because after all these Korbanos Pesach were shechted, they would take one cup, says Rav Yehuda, and they would take a cupful, one mizrak full of dam from the floor. Why? Because suppose out of those hundreds of thousands of Korbanos Pesach, suppose one of them had spilled, as we said before, because everything was being done so fast, and so it must have been spilled from the coat, certainly wouldn't have been spilled from the neck, that kind of mizrizim. Remember, we had the ulcer. So if one of them spilled from the cup, remember the din is that if the dam spills out of a cup, that then you're allowed to go take it, collect it from the floor, and you could still do zrika on the mizbeach. Precisely. So let's say something spilled, says Rabbi Yehuda. So if you've got all of this blood on the floor, you're going to end up with one molecule of that blood is definitely going to be in this cup, right? Obviously, we don't need just one molecule. So if that's the case, you take one cup of the mixture, which has the dam of that spilled cup in it, and you put that on the mizbeach, and that way it would all be kosher. Now, if Rabbi Yehuda, this is a brilliant question, if Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that the floor is essentially the top of the mizbeach, so would he have to collect the blood and put it on top of the mizbeach? The blood already is on the top of the mizbeach. Ha! So it must be that Rav Yehuda is meida, then when it comes to dam, we don't view the floor as being the top of the mizbeach. Perfect, right? Wonderful explanation. So this proves to us that Rav Yehuda has to admit that even if something has a kedusha mizbeach on the floor, like removing the mizbeach hazav and being able to bring the ketoret on the floor, that doesn't mean that on the mizbeach achitzon you could do the zrikas adam, or even on the mizbeach apnimi you could do the zrikas adam on Yom Kippur. That's not what it's talking about. It's only talking about the ketoret. That's clear. I remember that the New York Times has pointed out that if you work in an office, and even one member of that office is down and out, it makes the whole office miserable, and it's mashpia on everyone. I want to know why our Naftali is looking down today. The big N is not smiling, and we didn't even get a sunroof from Ari today. Is it not sunny? Is life not sunny? What's happening in Joburg?
No, today life is sunny, and it's actually bright and sunny, no rain. It's been raining, though. First day sunny.
I'm on security duty, Rebbe.
Security duty, and that makes you sad or sunny?
No, look at me. I'm so happy to be on security duty.
Okay, you might get a chance to shoot another one of them.
Maybe.
That would be a black mark on his record.
Now I got a smile.
Another one of what exactly?
Stop it, Gary.
I won't say anything. Okay. So that's clearly a raya. Let's see that inside. Because that way, just in case, and that's why you need to put it on the Mizbeach. But if according to Rabbi Yehuda, the whole floor was essentially the top of the Mizbeach. So Isak and Adak Sover Rabbi Yehuda Kule Azora Mekacha. So then Isak and La Mitzvah. So I don't understand. You already did the Mitzvah because the Dam is on the floor. And the floor is the Mizbeach. So why are you doing this again? Clearly, even though he holds the floor as the Mizbeach, it's only the Mizbeach vis-a-vis the Basar and the Emurim, but not in terms of the Zrika Sadam. Beautiful proof. Well, yes, but maybe not. Because says the Gemara, look, maybe Rabbi Yehuda would be perfectly happy if the Dam had been sprinkled on the floor, but not if it falls. I mean, falling is done without the Kohen's warning it to happen, Bichlal. And maybe you need Shvicha that has to be put there. It has to be done by an act of Keach, of a human being. This was not. This just fell to the ground. Maybe that's why he says you got to pick it up. But it doesn't mean that it wouldn't have been a kosher zrika if originally it was Zaruk Agabe, the Ritzvah, which was Mekudesh to be a Mizbeach. So the only Mishum the Kasavah Shvicha Mikoach Adabana, Beina. Well, no. Because I understand, if that's all he needs, why would he take a cup of it, put it on the Mizbeach? Just say, take a cup, pick the cup up, and then pour the cup out on the ground. And then you would be doing the Zrika and the way you're supposed to do it. And so why would he have to go to Mizbeach? So it must be that the floor is not kosher. It's the Mizbeach that's kosher for Dom. No, that doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, I would have said the same thing. Because, look, we're all agreed that the Chatchila, obviously, you're supposed to put the Dam on the Mizbeach. So once already, you're going to go pick up the Dam in order to be Machshir, any Dam that fell out of the Kos. So you go to the Mizbeach to put it on, because that's the Chatchila where it belongs. Midilma Mishon Devina Mitzvah Mina Mufchar, and that would be sufficient. Omar Rabbi Elazar. Once Rav, now this is moving back to the original level, which is Rav talking about a Mizbeach Shenivgam, but not going all the way up to the level before that. Remember, Rav himself was sort of tangential to the whole questions that we've been talking about over here in the kashrus of the Mizbeach in terms of Korbanos of Kachim 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 Kalim, which brought us to the sugya of where the Mizbeach is placed, and that brought us to the question of the Kiyor and the relationship of the Kiyor to Mizbeach. Fine. We're going back up to the level of a Pagam in the Mizbeach. So Omar Rabbi Elazar, once we're talking about Pagamim on the Mizbeach, which is what Rav got us involved in, you should need to realize that if there's a pagam in the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to eat shiyare minchas. So you're a kohen, and it's not your own korban. So then all of the shirayim of the mincha after the kometz is brought on the Mizbeach, this is all given to the kohenim. It's one of the matnes kohuna. And you're not allowed to eat it if the Mizbeach is not completely whole. Why? Because it says, V'yuchlua matzot eitzel ha-mizbeach. So, weird pasuk. You're supposed to take, he's Moshe Rabbeinu who says, during the Yimei HaMiluyim, K'chues ha-mincha noteret mi'ishe Hashem, V'yuchlua matzot eitzel ha-mizbeach, K'kodesh kodashimi. That's the pasuk. Now, it can't possibly mean you have to eat it next to the mizbeach. Why would you need to eat it next to the mizbeach? I mean, we learned beferish from the psukim that the entire azora is ro'ui to eating kochi kochim, which shiori mincha is. So why call it eitzel ha-mizbeach? That's the same idea we had before. that when you say Alam is Mizbeach or Eitz Alam is Mizbeach, it must mean because of the Mizbeach, as long as there's a Mizbeach justifying it. That's the point of Eitz Alam is Mizbeach, which means Bizman Shehu Shalem, if you've got a full Mizbeach there, then you're relying on that Mizbeach to eat. But lo Bizman Shehu Chaser, if the Mizbeach's not whole, you cannot eat even a mincha. How about other kotche kotche? Hashkechan shiore mincha. I mean, is that a special din in shiore mincha? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu happened to have been talking to Aaron right after the death of Nadav Avihu. And what was needed to be done at that point was, what are we going to do as in a matzav of avilut, an onanim, what are we going to do about the shiore mincha? But, I mean, it's not a din specifically in shiore mincha, is it? How do we know that this is true about kotche kotchim in general? Because, that's why I read the pasuk to you as a whole, the closing words of the pasuk are kodesh kodashim. So that kodesh kodashim is basically a reference to all kotche kotchim. And therefore, since it says that word unnecessarily, so it's a gzeirah shava to all the other places where it says kotche kotchim. How do we know kotchim kalim, that this is even true of Kachim Kalim? Says Abaya, I'll tell you how we know. We've got this beautiful drosha that Rabbi Yossi taught us, the Tanya. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Shlosha Dvarim Mishum Shlosha Zakenim. We're not going to go through all three things that Rabbi Yossi said from three things from three different Zakenim. We're going to say one of them, which is Nogea here, Vizechad Mian, that Rabbi Yishmael understands the drosha about what the din is of Maisa Sheni Bizman Hazeh. So Rabbi Shmuel Amar, you might think that even though, now it's clear that this is the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel from the whole circus. I'm just trying to make it clear here. We're talking about a shita that we need to speak about in terms of Gavi Yesodot, which is, as we spoke about many times, but in different ways, Kiddusha Rishon, was it Kiddusha L'Sha'ata, the Kiddusha L'Atid L'Avo, or was it a Kiddusha that was made at the time of the Knesset in Eretz Yisrael, and it was not going to affect the din of Eretz Yisrael after Hashem Yishmor, after a Churban and a Galut? So we found that big machlokas, and we've spoken about in the past how the dinim of Kiddusha L'Atid L'Avo may be very different for the din of the Kiddusha HaMizbeach and the Kiddusha HaMikdash, which is what the Rambam holds, that the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael in general is not Kodesh L'Atid L'Avo, but the Kiddusha, and he says, why do I say that the Kiddusha of the Mikdash remains even L'Atid L'Avo? Because that Kiddusha is Mishum Shechina, and the Kiddusha Shechina isn't batel. Masha'inkein, the Kiddusha that was through Kivush is only as long as you are Kovesh. If somebody is Kovesh from you and takes it from you, so that Kiddusha is batel. That's how the Rambam explains the difference. Now, all of that is taken into consideration many sugyas that go beyond our Gemara. But right now, our Gemara is asking as follows. Rabbi Shmuel himself, he holds that Kedusha, in terms of Eretz Yisrael as a whole, is Chal, Bizman Hazeh. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yishmael, if there's a Chiyav of Trumas and Maisras, then that Chiyav is a Diyoraisa, Bizman Hazeh. In which case, you need to know, what do I do with my Maisra Sheni? Can I actually eat it in Yerushalayim, Bizman Hazeh, as well? Or do I need a Beis HaMikdash in order to provide the concept of the Kiddush of the three machanes to Yerushalayim? So says Rabbi Yishmael, you might think that you'd be able to actually eat Maisa Sheni Bizman Hazeh. And you would say, well, I know that that's not logical. How do you know? Because of a dinu. If a Bechor requires you to bring it to Yerushalayim, and that's a given, now later on we're going to ask, how do we know that that's a given? But you can't eat it outside of Yerushalayim. And Maaser also, you can't eat out of Yerushalayim. Now look, Obviously, the Bechorah has to be brought to Yerushalayim because it's a korban, for God's sake. What does that have to do with the Maaser? So as the Gemara is going to make clear later on, what we mean is that if you had shechted a Bechor, you had done the Zrikas Hadam of the Bechor, and now the Romans come in and they destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Can you eat the meat of that Bechor or not in Yerushalayim? So what we're taking for granted is that Bechor, even under those circumstances, you'd have to eat it in a Yerushalayim where there's a Beis HaMikdash. We're taking that for granted. For some reason, the Gemara is going to say, how do you know that? So if a Bechor needs Havaas Mokum and Meiser needs Havaas Mokum, so then it's just reasonable, right? Ma Bechor Einu Ela B'fnei Abayit. As I say, we'll see how we know that. Af Maaser Einu Ela B'fnei Abayit. No. Continues the Mipnei Zaken Echad. No. Mala Bechor. Maybe the reason that we're machron on the Bechor is because you need to bring the Dam and the Emurim to the Mizbeach. Now, as I explained, you already brought the Dam and the Emurim to the Mizbeach. That's fine, but the point is that a Bechor has more of a relationship to Yerushalayim than Meitzer does. I mean, it's Mamash HaKorban. It's deeply involved in the Kedush of Yerushalayim. Meiser, Yerushalayim is just the place in which you're supposed to eat it. So how can you derive from Bechor to Meiser? So therefore, this wouldn't be enough. Well, now, that's true, but that can't be the reason that you need to eat it in Yerushalayim, because look, how about Bikurim? Bikurim don't have anything brought on the Mizbeach, do they? There's no dam, there's no emurim of the fruits that you're bringing. Nonetheless, you must eat bikurim in Yerushalayim, says in the pasuk. So it has to be lifnei Hashem Elokecha. So just like bikurim have to be eaten only if there's a Beis HaMikdash, so too Maaser Sheni stands to reason. No, because bikurim require also a connection to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to put them down. It says, V'inachta lifnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. You have to take the Bikurim, you have to put them down in front of the Mizbeach. So therefore, even if now that's already been done, but that gives them a different level of recognition of the Chashivas of Yerushalayim to the Bikurim, you're trying to derive from Bikurim to Meiser. Meiser doesn't require Hanocha lifnei Mizbeach.
Rebbe, there's a much higher level. You really don't have to bring the fruit. I can transfer the Kedusha to the money. That fruit doesn't even have to come. Why isn't that a point?
Why should it be? If I don't eat the money. I eat the Kedusha of the Paris when I restore it.
I understand. But already by Bechor, it's a difference. It's qualitative difference, no?
That's true, but it's not enough to start. If we would have had an alternative, we would have brought that up. But the point is that there's no basis for saying it's logical. It's not logical at all. So Talmud, now we're going to see in a moment, and why not make a ma'atzad, you know, Bikurim need anocha, but Bechor doesn't need anocha. Yes, but Bechor needs ma'atam domim ve'murim l'gabim mizbeach. But Bikurim yochichu atzad ha'shava shebehem, that they need to be eaten in Yerushalayim and they need a Beis HaMikdash, right? The reason we can't do that, obviously, is because both of them share the requirement for a Mizbeach on some level. Bikurim need the Mizbeach for putting it down. Ha'inachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. And the Bechor needs a Mizbeach for Zrikas Dam. So even though we did all of that, but that gave a Zika to the Mizbeach, and that might be the Tzad HaShav HaShavim. So, okay, that the Gemara is going to talk out. So therefore, anyway, getting back to now that I've shown you, says the Zaken Echad in this Braita, now that I've shown you that actually you cannot figure this out logically from a Mamatzinu, from Bikurim, or from Bechor, therefore Talmud Lomar, that's why the Torah makes its famous, beautiful Hekesh. Ve'heveitem shama olotechem ve'zivchechem ve'tmasrotechem ve'trumat yatchem ve'nidrechem ve'nidvotechem uv'chorot pekarchem ve'tzonechem. The Torah compares over there masrotechem to bechorot pekarchem ve'tzonechem. And that way we know it from a pasuk, that Maasrechem is compared to Bechor, just like we know, we don't know yet how we know, but just like Bechor, Einu Ela Bifnei Habayit, Av Maaser, Einu Ela Bifnei Habayit. But wait, why did we say that we need the Pasuk? Couldn't we have put together Bikurim and Bechor and make a Maatzad? Why don't we say Nahadadinim and Esim Maatzad? You're telling me I can't learn out of Bechor because you need Dam Vemuri. Bikurim Yochiyah. Telling me I can't learn out of Bikurim because you need Hanokha Lefiyam Mizbeah. Bechor Yochiyah. Tzad Hashava Shabam. They need to be in Yerushalayim and they need the Bayit to be there when they eat. So why can't we do that? Nahadadinim and Esim Maatzad. Yeah, because there's an obvious question. We can make a different Tzad HaShava. What's the common denominator between these two? Both of them have need of a Mizbeach for different things. But Ma'alat Tzad HaShava Shem Shkin Yesh Bem Tzad Mizbeach, either for Hanocha or for Zrika or Emurim. So therefore, they are different than Ma'aser Sheni. Okay, now, I don't understand what this Rabbi Shmuel was actually saying over here. I mean, he starts off with saying that Kedusha Rishon is Kitchel HaShaita V'Kitchel HaTid Lavav, right? I mean, that's his Hanachas Yesod, is that I'm saying, since I need to bring Midiraisa, I need to bring from Eretz Yisrael, the even Bisman HaZeh, Trumas HaMaisras, so why are you asking whether I can eat it in Yerushalayim? If Eretz Yisrael is Kodesh for its Kedusha HaOretz, at the time of the Knesset Ha'aretz La'atid Lavav, so too should Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash be Kadosh. So why would we need an actual building of the Beis Hamikdash? You can even bring Korbanos Bizman HaZeh, right? Because you don't need a bayis. Remember, we learned in Megillah, Shamati, that you're makrivim afal pi shein bayit. Okay, that's if you hold that the Kedusha Rishona is Tocha. So then, if that's what he holds, then why is he saying Bechor can't be eaten without a Beis HaMikdash? Why not? Why can't a Bechor be eaten without a Beis HaMikdash? If Yerushalayim is Kodesh, so then you can eat a Bechor also. So what's he saying? Let's learn it out of Bechor. Okay, let's learn it out of Bechor. A Bechor is fine to eat Bizman HaZeh, right? As long as you already did the Hakrova of the Bechor and the Zrika of the Bechor, that's fine. But if you still have the meat, you'd be allowed to eat a Bizman HaZeh. So then have to eat a Bechor Nami. And if he holds that there is no Kedusha, so maybe he makes a difference in Kedusha Yerushalayim, I don't know. But I mean, whatever the din is, if that's true, it would be true for the Bechor also. So then you wouldn't be, you would have the same kasha about the Bechor that you have about the Maaser. Can I or can I not eat the Basar of a Bechor if I had already brought the Bechor as a korban and done the Zrika? Same question that I have about the Maaser. Why is it different? Omer Ravina, I'll tell you. Actually, Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is not Chalatid Lafo. So why are you telling me that you're so sure that the Bechor can't be eaten without a Beis HaMikdash? What's the difference between the Bechor and the Maaser? You have the same question about Bechor as you did with Maaser. Is the physical presence of the Beis HaMikdash a requirement to be able to eat the Bechor? Well, remember, now, as Rashi points out, we knew this all along, but we just want to finally talk it out so that everybody understands. Remember, that what we're talking about over here is a Bechor, that you already brought the Korban, you did the Zrika Sadam before the Korban HaBayit, and now you have the meat, and the Romans destroy the Bayit, and now you still have that meat. Can you eat it or not? So Rabbi Shmuel says, of course you cannot eat it, but that has nothing to do with the Kedushas Yerushalayim. That has to do with the fact that the Torah made a hekesh of the Basar Bechor to the actual Dam of the Bechor. Because remember, the pasuk that we darshened before, Ach Bechor, Shor Bechor, Kesav Bechor, Eiz Lov Tifteh Kodesh Heim. And then what does it say? Et Damam Tizrok, Et Chalbam Taktir, we didn't read that next pasuk about being makish the baser, but we knew about the connection of the dam and the chalev. Well, If you look at the very next pasuk, it adds uvisarom yelecha kechazei atrufa kishok hayavim. So then that means that if you do not have the ability to be damam tizrok, even though it's done, but it's not currently damam tizrok, is kesh b'sar l'damo. Just like the dam is dependent on having a mizbeach, like we said, everybody's mode of the mizbeach is necessary as the tereh for the dam. Av b'saro is only able to be eaten if there is a mizbeach, a physical mizbeach. Now I know that. So now I can learn out meiser from the hekesh of masrotechem ubechorot pekarchem betzonchem. I can learn out the hekesh of meiser to bechor. Fantastic. So I'll see meiser v'yolof me bechor. But you can't do that. You just learned out the din of the basar of the bechor out of the dam of the bechor. That's a hekesh, right? Those were the two psukim. He talked about damot isrok and bring the emurim and b'saro yelecha. That's a hekesh. And now you want to learn out from a different hekesh, from masrotechem to b'chorot zonchem. No, wait a minute. Remember that we're talking about ein lamad min halamad. So how can you use one hekesh to teach me through another hekesh? V'chidavar lamad hekesh. Hey, wait a minute over here. We're talking about Meiser Dagon. We're not talking about Meiser Behema here. We're talking about Meiser Techem. That's talking about Meiser Dagon. That was our whole question. Can you bring up your Meiser Sheni? Now, that's Chulin. I got news for you. That's Chulin. And the din of Ein Lamedim Lamad Min HaLamad is not said for Chulin. It's only said for Kachim. So what's the problem? You know what the problem is. The problem is that we had the argument before about what determines whether you're allowed to learn the hekesh from a hekesh. Does it go according to what you're learning from, or does it go according to what you're learning to? Now, you're telling me, well, what I'm learning to, namely, Meiser Sheni is fluent, it's not a problem. Yeah, that's if you hold that it goes according to what you're learning to. That's called the lamat. But what if you hold according to the Mandi Yomar that says you go according to the Milamed and not according to the Lama? So now the Milamed is Kodesh. Bechor is Kodesh. So what are you going to do? Sadiq Lamandi Yomar Batar Lamed Azlina. But what about according to the Mandi Yomar Batar HaMilamed Azlina? Michael Amim, huh? Oh, so you know what? I'll tell you. When we said that the Dam and the Basar is a Hekesh, it doesn't mean it's a hekesh in a classical way that we have. This is one din, this is another din, now let's compare those two din. That's not the point. The point is that the Torah describes what is a bechor. A bechor is dam, emurim, and basar. That's the point. So it's all one thing. I mean, this is an artificial parsing of a bechor into these parts. Now you're going to say, well, we have a certain halacha about A, a certain halacha about B, a certain halacha about C. And that's not the point. The Torah is showing you the totality of the bechor. It's kula chodem yilsa. You don't call that a hekesh. It's not a legal issue. It's a determination of what is included in all those same halachas. So dam ubasar is all called Chodav Milsi. So this is the way that Abaye explained the whole thing. And he said, I'm going to tell you how I know that Kachim Kalim need to have a Mizbeach. Here's my proof. Rabbi Yishmael from the Zerken Echad said exactly that halacha, that you cannot eat a Bechor. And I'm saying, well, a Bechor is Kachim Kalim. So that's how I know that Kachim Kalim also can't be eaten unless the Mizbeach is Sholem. That's why I added that. Now, when Ravin was Zeicha to make Aliyah, and those of you who, of course, rushed to read the write-up of the last week's discussion yesterday will immediately see this Gemara as being directly relevant to yesterday's write-up. Of course, I'm speaking to all of the people who must have spent the whole night reading up that write-up. So I'm quite certain that we're all on the same page here. So anyway, oh gosh, the hopelessness of the situation. So anyway, so when Rovin actually went and set over in Eretz Yisrael, he went to see Rabbi Yirmiyah. He told Rabbi Yirmiyah this tremendous kiddush of Abaye that Kachim Kalim are the same, and they also cannot be eaten. He burst out laughing. He says, these stupid liquiders, Pavloi Tipshoi, it's ridiculous, this they call learning. My gosh, bringing us Brisker Torah here in Eretz Yisrael. Amto de Yasvei Ba'ara de Chashucha Amrishmaitzin de Mechasha. They live in this dark world, so everything that they think of in their brains comes out of darkness. Remember, that's called Talmud Bavli, it's called dark. I mean, how stupid can you be? They never heard the Braita that says, B'sha'at siluk masa'ot. What does that mean? So the Mishkan was taken apart, and the Mizbeach was covered, and it's no longer in the Mishkan. And it says that all of the basar that was there becomes pasul, because now it's not in the makam of Kedusha, so it would be pasul as if it was Yotze. And Zovin u'mitzora'in are mishtachim chutz l'mechitza. So both Zovin u'mitzora'in, so the mitzora is not allowed to come into any of the shalosh machanos. A Zov is allowed to come in to Yerushalayim, but he's not allowed to come in to Machane Levim. And that is still true, because as the Machane actually walked, there was still the area that was miyuchad for the Levim, and there was still miyuchad in the area that was the Mikdash, in which case you can't say the Kachim were nifsalim because of Yotze. There's got to be another reason. And what is that reason? It's not Yotze because there's still a din of a machana. It says you're not allowed to go into that machana and Zavin or Mishtalkim. So the reason is, obviously, because if there's no Mizbeach, then there's no Achila, which is what we learned from Eitzel Mizbach that was said right at the beginning of the daf today, that was said by Moshe Rabbeinu to Aaron and his children after the death of Nadav Aviyu, which was referring to Kachim Kachim. So it says, here it says, the Kachim are Nifsol. Okay? Now, another Braita says that all of the Basar of Kadesh could be eaten in both places, Rishnei Mikomot, meaning whether you're in the Machana when things are standing still and you're in the place that the Machana was now rebuilt, or whether you're in the process of moving from one place to the other, you're in the Masa'ot and not in the Chanayot. Doesn't matter. You could eat the Kachim in both places. Now, I mean, I guess that's what it means. And that's a contradiction. First Braita said, all of the meat becomes pus. Second Braita says, doesn't matter. You could eat the meat anywhere. Now, the reason I say that these people in Bavel are idiots, because the only way that you could have understood the two prices is that the first price, which says that it's usher, is referring to Kachim Kachim. And that was the first pasuk that we brought, that you have to eat the shiyorei menachos etzel mizbach Hashem Elokecha. Kodesh Kodashim. Abaye is coming to say, well, it doesn't mean only Kodesh Kodashim. It means even Kachim Kalim. So now how's he going to learn that contradiction in the Braita? Therefore, the Braita that says it's possible because there's no Mizbeach. It's not possible because of Yotze. Because as we saw, Zavin and Mitzorayim are still Osir, which means that the Machana still has a Kedusha Samachana even when it's traveling. So Kasher Yachanu Ken Yiso, right? But that means that the Kachim Kalim must be the subject of the other Braita, the second Braita, and there it says that you could still eat B'shnei Mekomot. So you see that obviously Abaye is kaput. That's what they said when they repeated Abaye in Eretz Yisrael. Now, tomorrow we'll see how we can actually work out the Shita according to Abaye. I don't want to do it now because we've got a little tesis we'd have to learn. You know, we don't want to learn that tesis now. We can learn tesis tomorrow, I'm sure. So, you see, nobody's looking at the next stuff yet.